Good morning. It is Monday, March 22nd. Brian is on his way, and with us for Talk Shop is the principal of St. Bernard's, Paul Shanahan.
Yay, Paul.
Good morning.
You're waiting for the cheerleaders, aren't you? Go ahead, you can talk.
Well, what?
Sit down for a second.
You're looking a little injured over there.
Yeah, something about needing to use all the steps when you come off of a deck that I thought was an optional.
Did you miss one, two, three?
Two. But I also missed the stepping stone, so.
So that's good. Yeah, your face looks good. I mean, oh, there go the crutches.
Yeah, still able to move somewhat. Yeah. Just all the glory, right?
Right. Hey, I'm glad you made it in.
Well, and you're here too.
Yeah, no, I'm intact, but, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll watch my step later today.
Yeah. Oh, fair enough, fair enough. Are you ready for a why do we say that?
Why do we say
Let's
that, Brian?
Let's see if we can find. Okay. No, nah, we're not going to do ordeal. That's just not right. Paddle your own canoe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wow. Where does that come? It's got to go back sometime when we were going up and down. A little bit more, so that's got to come. I'm thinking America, early 1900s. No, I don't know. What
is it? You're a little early. 1854, Harper's Magazine. The phrase was first used in a poem, and the lines were, "Leave it to heaven in humble trust, all you will to do, but if you would succeed, you must."
Paddle your own canoe. Yeah.
There you go.
That fits with Humboldt County. I think a little bit. People taking care of themselves.
Yeah.
A little independence.
Well, and typically this time of the year, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I know the Harpers are in their canoe every once in a while when the floods come through just to get to the car.
Yeah. Oh, gee. So, as they say, what's new at school these days?
You know, it's a new adventure for students, staff, and parents. It's gone remarkably well. This remote learning. You know, we've never been positioned as schools as well as we are today for a sudden shift to students having to stay home. I mean, we have access to so many resources that weren't there 10 years ago. And lots of companies, educational companies, information companies are stepping up and saying, hey, we've got these resources. Schools can use them for free.
That's what I was wondering, you know, with everybody, you know, kind of looking around trying to figure out what the new norm is. Are these folks, they're reaching out, and are these infrastructures that previously existed, or have these been all implemented in the last week or so?
No, there have been resources for quite some time, but districts are always making choices, right? You've got a limited budget. You can't order everything on the menu. And so what's happened in America is, you know, companies like IXL that serve millions of students across the world, you know, see that there's a need, and they're reaching out to parents and saying, hey, check us out. And we have a subscription for some of our students, but when I reached out to them, they said, hey, we'll cover all your kids for the rest of the year. Don't worry about it. And what IXL is, every strand of mathematics from preschool to calculus, thousands of items and immediate feedback. So it's, you know, when you and I went home and did homework in eighth grade, if you did number one wrong, you were likely going to do the next 25 wrong. With IXL, you do number one wrong, they tell you what you did wrong. You do number two wrong, okay, by the time you get to three and four, it's like, okay, I'm starting to get this. So
it's almost like a tutor.
It is a tutor with all the brain power of, at this point, 60 billion problems have been done. So they've got the feedback and what works and what helps kids. And then, like Audible came out just a couple days ago and said, hey, we've got all these classic books. Four different levels for kids. Come for free, have these audiobooks. And again, if you're a parent at home, stuck trying to help your kids learn, it's like, oh yeah, you know, here's a great book. You know, let's share that together.
So these resources were out there previously and just weren't.
Well, it's expensive.
Because
I mean, IXL is not that expensive. Some things are more expensive. You know, Zoom has made their platform free. Google's made Hangout and Meet free for schools. So that, you know, when you're doing a subscription as a district, it all, you know, adds up. So you end up not being able to do all that you want. In this case, I think some districts will fall in love with the new product, and next year they'll subscribe.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of Jim Cramer this morning, just, you know, basically waiting to get out to the rig. And he was talking about Zoom, basically non-existent a little while ago. In early January, I think the stock was $25 or something like that. Now it's up to $156,
yeah,
with a huge swoop, because people are now using this as, mm-hmm, a way to communicate, you know, being off-site from their workplace.
Right, right.
And he said it's turning into a verb.
Yes, and I've been in multiple Zoom meetings in my career, and, you know, this last week there have been a lot of folks using it for the very first time, and they realize, oh, okay, it's pretty seamless, and it's not really like FaceTiming. It's, you know, it feels like you're in a meeting, and people are able to get work done. It's a really good product. And Google, of course, we know lots of good products. Google Meet works very similarly, and a lot of the schools are using that instead of Zoom.
Yeah, a bunch of choices are out there. So one of the questions that folks were starting to ask, with all this virtual learning that's out there, do schools go back to from whence they came? Or is this now kind of, well, we did this, and okay, we got to figure out maybe the social components, uh-huh, that are lacking. But other than that, new approach to education, and we move out of the agrarian model.
Right. I think if you surveyed our community right now, you'd have parents raising their hands, kids raising their hands, and teachers raising their hands. Let's go back to what we had 2 weeks ago, Brian. They missed each other. They missed the classroom. My daughter told me, Dad, I had a Saturday night dream about school, and I was back in class, and I was so happy. It's like, you know, there are a lot of kids and a lot of parents that miss the norm and miss that connection and didn't realize how filled up they were by their classmates, you know.
Well, kind of like the first, you know, after the first week of summer school or summer break.
Everyone's happy. Everyone's smiling. Can't wait to go see, you know.
Yeah, get back and get together. Yeah, okay. So things are different.
Things are different.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19. We'll be back with more from Mr. Shannon here.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with St. Bernard's Principal Paul Shanahan. Paul, the one of the interesting things with the whole remote learning and then being in a smaller school like yours, okay, obviously the cost, the investment going in for everybody to have isn't as great, but there's also staff sizing. You know, mm-hmm. So if you've got, let's say, a faculty of 150 people,
right.
Okay, you're going to have some that do and some that don't, but you're going to be able to figure it out, and somebody's going to be somebody's buddy and say, hey, it's not that tough. Let me show you how.
Right.
And you get it done. You have a much smaller staff. Okay. Nah. Okay, that could be 10% of your staff going, nah, I don't think so.
That's a really good question. So, as you know, I taught up in Seattle, north of Seattle, for quite some time, and North Shore, a district of 22,000, was one of the first in, or maybe the first in the country to shut down March 5th. And so seeing that, talking to former teachers that I worked with and what that was looking like, we as a staff moved early March into, okay, what's this going to look like? What can we do? And I really gave the teachers control of what are the resources we should all be using? What are some resources that are more specific to science? And then by the time the governor was making his executive order, saying, hey, I'll fund schools, but you have the choice to close or not. We were meeting again, and at that point, it was that peer coaching you're talking about. So, if, you know, I've got teachers that use Google Classroom all year long. I have teachers that don't. Well, those masters of it were the ones helping along, and that went into Monday this last week, and then we rolled it out Tuesday. So I think for me, I'm lucky in that there's a lot of flexibility on our staff, a lot of flexibility, and they really enjoy the challenge. In fact, one teacher came up to me Tuesday and said, you know, I'm so happy. And he's like, it's all new. I'm charged up. I had another teacher that spent the whole weekend, 35 hours, shifting her curriculum from in the classroom to online. 35 hours. She cared that much about the kids. So
it is a significantly different approach.
It can be. It can be. And some tools make it easy. Like if you have your, the papers you're going to hand out on Wednesday already copied, well, you scan that in and put it into Google Classroom, and there's a program called Kami, and now the kids can remotely just mark it up all they want, hit a button, and it's turned in right back to you. So you haven't moved, they haven't moved, but they did the same assignment you were planning to give on Wednesday.
Is it more efficient?
From an administrative standpoint, I ask the teachers to include me in each of their classes, so I can bring up on my phone every single class and their learning objectives right now and go hop class to class to class. That's efficient.
Not at home, it's not, baby.
Oh, no, yeah. Well, I
Dad? I'm studying the school.
Oh, no. I'm at the office. So we're an essential business, and we have a skeleton staff at school. So, the kids will have to text me if they've got a question.
Well, I think that would be part of the challenge with this. And we experienced it in college, and I'm sure a lot of folks do at work, too. If you have all your tools with you, do you just dive in and you're so ingrained that you forget to breathe?
Absolutely, Brian. You absolutely are right. And by Wednesday last week, we had teachers that hadn't taken a breath in four days. And so I just did a pause. We came together, put out a message to everyone and said, you know what? Self-care. Everyone today, what are you doing for self-care? There's anxious people around you. There's stress everywhere you look. Each day is different. You have to be taking care of yourself, whatever that looks like, whether it's a run, walk on the beach, reading a good book. You've got to do that because it's going to be a while. And we met on Friday as a staff using Google Meet, virtually. And part of what we did was just report out what was working and what people were doing to kind of maintain some sense of normalcy while taking care of themselves.
Yeah, that whole sanity check thing. And that's, I think, a lot of us that are more chained to our desk.
Yeah.
If things start going good, then everything is good and rosy. If things start going, the whirlwind down or the, you can get, until you get out, you get sucked into whatever your reality is 10 feet away from you.
Right, right.
And that can have pluses and can have minuses.
Right, and because we're able to meet face-to-face with the kids online, we're hearing that to meet what you're describing, that contact with their teacher for each of their different classes is the highlight of the week. They're really looking forward to those moments when it feels normal. They're sharing laughter, they're sharing stories, they're sharing some of their struggles and their learning. That is what feels the most normal and the best and pulls people kind of back to center.
Is who was I think it was Shapiro last week, an interesting observation, and it's certainly true in the academic world too, is that genetically coded, we are a grouping species, right?
Well,
you come together for safety in numbers.
We're told social distancing, but you see down in Marin, these people, I'm going to go for a walk along the headlands, and next thing you know, they're all getting sucked into these large groups. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we've got a little park by our house, and people are starting with their bike rides and social distancing, and then the gyre gets tighter and tighter and tighter, and then suddenly they're all within 4 feet of each other.
Yeah,
it's kind of magnetic.
Yeah, and we have the personal space dynamic and some of those different things that are more cultural.
Right.
And normal feels good, and so we're going to do what feels good.
Yep.
Rather than maybe necessarily what's the best thing to do.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Well said. I think that fall helped you.
You like? Yeah. Yeah, maybe I should have. But maybe I did hit my head. I just don't remember that I did it. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
Hi, this is Brian Papstein. This afternoon, Humboldt County Health Officer Teresa Fankovic is having a press conference and will be announcing the formalization of our current practices, formerly referenced as shelter in place. What does this mean? How does it impact you? Find out as we will be talking with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel this afternoon. Stay tuned here in the 4 o'clock hour. You'll be able to hear that interview in its entirety, and we'll have it on our website later this afternoon. Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with St. Bernard's principal, president, CEO.
Graduate.
Yeah, no, I was going to make a reference to the bishop somehow, but I'm not sure
he would. Yeah. He's fine with us up here on our own.
Paul Shanahan.
Pseudo-independent.
Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Paul, with some of the stuff that's going on, certainly there's a lot of looking back to try to figure out what did we do last time.
Right.
And you look at the economic stuff and... Yeah, a lot of the safeguards and were put in place because of what happened the last time, and we're still seeing some of the fluctuations and the concerns and things of that nature. Body politic is still body politic, mm-hmm. and you know that's getting hammered out in the chambers, I guess,
right.
this morning or afternoon if you're back there shortly. What sense do you see in looking at the history? Is there... I mean, I know you're kind of a geek like me.
Uh-huh.
Are there lessons that are there, or have things changed so much in the last... 9/11 was seen as kind of the last, you know, President
right.
Bush was out there, and then he was doing his stuff, and we kind of came together. But then when he was calling for $7 billion for either pandemic or it never got funded, still has not been funded.
Mm-hmm.
So right back into the political
right.
morass. Are there little benchmarks along the way in the last little bit that you kind of look for or teaching to that is bringing a little normalcy for some of the kids?
You know, I think we've got to go all the way back to 1918. You know, I've heard several older folk, let's call them seniors, say they haven't seen anything like what we're experiencing today. But if you go back to 1918, you had the churches closing, the schools closing, you had people wearing masks in the street. You had local governments making adjustments, and you had America learning from the mistakes of different areas of the world. You earlier today talked a little bit about Philadelphia and St. Louis. You know, Philadelphia knew the flu was in town, knew the soldiers had it, and went forward with a parade that brought in 200,000 people together. And 3 days later, all their hospitals were full. St. Louis sees that and says, whoa, we're going to close our schools. We're going to close our churches. We're going to keep people apart. And, you know, they had a fatality rate, the death rate, you know, half of Philadelphia. And then locally, I was reading a great article by the winner of the Charles Barnum History Award in 2012, Jeff Coomber. And he talked about, you know, even at the logging camp level, right, logging camp level in Humboldt, in 1918, you had some folks that got it. So if Brian went to town, right, for whatever Brian needed in town, when you came back, hey Brian, that tent over by that's your tent right now. You know the flu's in town, Brian. You know you're going to be there until we know you're healthy.
There's recognitions,
right? And then there are other logging camps where you know three guys go into the bars and they came back, and the next thing you know, everyone's sick. So It's tough now because, you know, it's an invisible enemy. You know, a lot of people talk about you don't see it, and so it's hard to wrap your mind around it. But as we look at the past, I mean, Ferndale, right? Ferndale. Very independent. Very independent. And as this wave is hitting Eureka, they said, you know, they pointed to the war because, again, they had a war going on, right?
Yeah,
we
yeah.
forget that. They've got World War One going on. They've got doctors, nurses at war. They've got their young men at war. And they say, you know what? We're going to mandate that if you're outside, you're wearing a mask. Okay? We're going to fumigate all the public spaces. We're going to keep people apart. And so that second wave in October, November didn't hit Ferndale. Now, the third wave came in that spring and hit Ferndale, you know, I think killed 12 people. But there are things we can do, and social distancing wasn't called social distancing, but it does help flatten the curve. And that's what happened. Philadelphia, you had that huge spike, overwhelmed the hospitals, and St. Louis, not so much. And you look at our own school, St. Bernard's was founded in 1912 as Nazareth Academy by the Sisters of St. Joseph. Those same women were called to help in 1918. Why? Our hospitals were filled up. We were opening emergency hospitals left and right, and there was a call for help. You didn't have to have any medical training at all. You could be a nurse tomorrow. and that's what the sisters did. They went out and they helped. And now you've got this, St. Joseph Hospital right here in town.
Yeah, assisting people.
Assisting people. When there is a need, meet the need. Go towards the need, right? Go towards the problem. Don't go the other way.
Yeah. And what is it? Fight or flight?
Fight or flight, right?
Yeah, and there are those that do and those that do.
Right.
And that's kind of where you are.
And they talk about a third, right? And the third is kind of paralysis. You're just kind of caught.
Frozen.
You're just frozen. And right now we're asking folks to, hey, if you can, stay frozen in that house of yours and only go out when you have to.
Yeah, it's interesting. What is the bishop saying? I mean, because he's kind of in charge of a lot of the stuff. There was a report, and I forget which diocese it was, but some bishop was digging in his heels, and he wanted Mass.
Right.
And then there was a recognition that perhaps this, and I think it was a Catholic bishop, who said, okay, I get it now.
Right. You got to listen to the science and understand. Act as if you're infected and can give this virus to somebody else, and act as if the people around you are also. But yeah, our local bishop in Santa Rosa, Bishop Vasha, streamed his Mass, so the churches are closed, streamed his Mass in front of an empty cathedral in Santa Rosa. And he reminded the congregation that, you know what? You don't have to be together. You know, God's there, right? God's there. And I think we're tasked with helping our neighbor. We're tasked with helping those folks that are homebound. We're tasked with really looking after our grandparents. The grandkids really want to spend time with them, but you know what? This is not the moment you want.
Make plans for the summer.
Right. One thing I've asked our grandparents, the kids' grandparents, is to, hey, yeah, my grandparents, rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Yeah.
But record some of the stories, from their youth and send those videos over to the kids. Share some of that. We've got a digital record.
Your dad's able to do that?
Oh, yeah. No, they're sophisticated.
That savvy.
They're sophisticated.
Okay. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Are you a business owner looking for financial or technical assistance? An entrepreneur looking to start a new business? The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and the Small Business Development Center want to help. With business loans, classes, and one-on-one consulting, our goal is your success. We've been helping Humboldt County businesses for over 30 years. Visit us at 520 E Street, Eureka, the Prosperity Center, or find us on the web. The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Small Business Development Center. We're here for you.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Paul Shanahan. Paul, one of the things that I've found over the last, two, 3 months, it's been reinforced, is terminology. That if I say great, your definition of great or your level of great is different than what mine is. Or if I say blue, you may think it's purple, right? And somebody else may think it's closer to blue.
All right, yeah. Right.
Okay. So terminology, clarity of speech, that type of stuff. Are you emphasizing that either to the kids themselves in interactions they have amongst themselves or with you or with the faculty also,
Right.
Be cognizant of the wording and how you use the wording.
Right. I think the messaging around flattening the curve has been very consistent. And we had the luxury of a prayer service the Friday before schools were shifted to their new model. And so to be in front of the students and talk through what flattening the curve looked like, why we were doing it, and then for them, knowing that they're seeing that, it's just every media source is kind of using the same, that's helpful. When we were asked in the same day to shelter in place, and then shelter at home, and then, there's this.
That's the one that got me.
Right.
Because when we were growing up, and okay. I, late 50s,
right.
Earlier than late 50s, when we were told shelter at school, when we were drilled and trained, It meant something that this is not.
You're not leaving. You're not leaving, right?
Yeah.
You're
hiding in the closet with the blankets
over
you, kind of thing.
When in fact, for your mental health, you can go outside. You know, when in fact, if you're out of the essentials, you can go to the supermarket. So I think we're teaching in the moment in a way that's confusing to folks, you know. And so, you know, our governor said, I think, 2 days ago, and then you throw in the level of language in California, you know, the different languages. So here we are, fluent. I like to think the two of us are pretty fluent
in there,
pretty fluent in English. And then you throw some jargon in, and then you translate it. And then it's what does it translate to?
Right.
And then, you get the clarification on essential businesses, and it's 35 points long. It's like, you know, you can't cover that in a press conference. But I think our local government's done a great job. I know I can depend on their messaging. And I think that... it matters. The words we use right now matter.
Yeah, it's and still trying to keep it within some zone of normalcy, whatever that is. Like, you know, with the restaurant folks, you know, we did something. The royal we did something yesterday. So all of our restaurant buddies, you know, if you want to go somewhere, if you want to see or make contact with, you can go to the websites and. Boom, there's all the guys that you hear about, contact information and all that. Because the concern I've got as much of the health as the economic.
Right.
What happens after this or during this? What are we looking at? And that will help, I think, to maintain that feeling of normalcy.
Right. I think we're a hopeful country. We're a problem-solving country. But there's a lot of unknown right now.
Yeah. So how long are you guys geared up for? I know this initial thing that the county did was through April 9.
Right. So we're going to maintain hope and follow when we're told the shelter, we're going to be, you know, doing remote learning, and then we'll evaluate at that point.
Just kind of play it by ear.
Well, the governor said several times he doesn't see schools in session before the end of the school year. So we're preparing for that. And if we are asked to go back to the classroom in a week where, you know, a vaccine comes out, boom, we're back in the classroom in a week.
Yeah. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.